It's Bill Martinez. We're live 20 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, America. Right now, we've got back with us. It's been a while. Been looking forward to reconnecting with Bruce Thatcher, author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. That remains the remains the question, Bruce. Welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be talking about immigration again. We haven't been hearing a whole lot about that lately in the main press.
Yeah, it's gotten kind of lost here, and because it's been more about manipulation than it is about, discussing and debating, good policy. This is something that the Democrats have been running cover with because right now it's in their favor. And meanwhile, you got a standoff because, it's like who gets the credit? The Democrats don't want the Republicans to get the credit. Republicans don't want the Democrats to get the credit. And meanwhile, we've got millions of lives hanging in the balance as this government continues to toy around with a very serious topic.
You know, I quote a guy named Meyer Burstein in my book. He was an official in the Canadian Employment and Immigration Commission. What he said was immigration mistakes are big mistakes. They don't go away. They only get bigger. And that's what's happening in our country, I'm afraid, because our politicians who focus on the political advantages or disadvantages of immigration aren't dealing with the mistakes.
Right.
Jeb Bush was interviewed, on Sunday, and kind of brought the subject back up again with some of his sound bites have been quoted about illegal immigration being an act of love or not being a felony. But he also said one reason to pass immigration reform is to restore people's confidence in the law.
Yeah.
I would argue that our confidence in the law doesn't have to do with our existing immigration laws, has to do with our existing immigration practices, which are more often flaunting the laws. We don't really need new laws to obey the laws. We do need immigration reform to kind of correct the mistakes that are in the law.
Right. Yeah, meanwhile, enforce what you have. Let's work it out, but let's not suspend it just because we haven't figured things out. I mean, you imagine if we did that across the board and, that was the new order of the day is that, a law can be a law until there's, somebody introduces some confusion to the topic, then it no longer, we just kind of put it on hold. Is that the way we do things here now?
Well, I hope that's not the way we do things, but if you look at not only some of the discussions, many of the discussions, and look about the private citizen special interests doing sit-ins and walk-ins and saying, let's ignore the laws for our particular constituency here or there. We also have government showing contempt for the laws, and that's really bad. It breaks down respect for the law, and it demoralizes our border and immigration officers, causing their effectiveness as law enforcers to become diminished.
Mm-hmm.
We have states, for instance, issuing driver's license to illegals, creating big problems as regards the IDs for boarding airlines and all the other purposes that photo IDs are used for. There's now 11 states, and it looks like Oregon's going to join them, that issue licenses, driver's licenses, to illegals at the same time that it's illegal for those people to even be here.
Well, are we going to get to the situation? I mean, because now if you're issuing, driver's license to everybody, then what does that make your driver's license worth? I mean, recently I went through the TSA and wanted to, get the TSA line, the express line, and you have to put in an application, and they will not accept your driver's license as identification. They need a birth certificate or a passport. But yet when you go get a passport, you have to show both. So, I don't understand. So now if we're going to have an influx of all these driver licenses for illegals, then does that delegitimize the effectiveness or at least the standard of any kind of identification for a driver's license?
Well, that's a good point. Obviously, the TSA itself is saying that they don't trust driver's licenses as being a definitive piece of identification. But driver's licenses, yeah, you're right, they're diminished for all of us. I hadn't looked at that facet of it, but we have. It's gonna continue. The accepted modes of legitimation in this country, as they get eroded through some of these actions of government, are going to become eroded for all of us, not just for the few states where that's happening.
Yeah, the problem we've got here, Bruce, is that because the government has decided to unhinge itself from the rule of law and those anchoring points which define, you know, our borders, define our policy and that, you know, it's just opened up the discussion. And so then, you know, then we enter into the realm of political correctness. We offend people. And I can understand Jeb Bush, and I heard the comments, and I saw it when he made the statement, and I thought, okay, well, I'm sure people are going to take this the wrong way, because in the context, the way he was communicating it is that, yes, he's right. I mean, at least this was my perception, understanding what he was saying, is that if I was a father and I was looking over the border and I saw America, the land of opportunity, and that's what was going to feed my kids, and my kids are hungry, and that my natural instinct is, you know, I'm going to crawl, I'm going to break through, I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, to get into America and the land of opportunity, you know, for the sake of, you know, love and concern for my family to do that. Now, we understand that natural instinct, but what we have to do is talk about this realistically. And as you cited in your book, is that, you know, we have a broken system because the government has chosen to violate and break the system. And now, you know, in trying to figure this all out, everybody is mean-spirited because we've allowed, or the government has allowed, and it's been the government. Yes, businesses have participated in this, but by and large, the government has turned a blind eye because they're being rewarded for all these illegal immigrants coming into our country and, you know, taking advantage. Whereas if it was the other way around, they would not, for example, let us go into Mexico and just be able to, you know, tap into all their resources. You know, that's not fair. And even, you know, Hispanics who were here, particularly, you know, if we look at about 40% of the immigration number coming from Mexico, understandably, they understand that that's not fair. But let's have a discussion about what would be fair and how do we do this, and how do we make this happen in such a way so where there is compassion, and it's not about being mean and we have it and you don't, and, you know, that sort of thing. But we are still, you know, to your point, Bruce, we are a country of laws, and we need to honor that, because when we violate it, then it opens up, you know, a bag of worms all over the place in other different areas that manifest themselves unexpectedly. According to Rasmussen, most voters continuously oppose illegal immigration, but admit that when done legally, immigration is good for America. This explains why a majority have a favorable opinion of immigrants who come to this country to work hard, support their family, and pursue the American dream. We're talking with Bruce Thatcher, his book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce, you know, in your book, you make the point that, you know, when we violate, you know, immigration policy and laws, we're eroding the respect for law. And to me, I think that's huge, because it's kind of a gateway to all kinds of other violations of the law. Because if you're not going to respect, you know, something this obvious that has become, you know, a focal point, you know, for America, if you're going to violate the law here, then what holds true for other laws?
Well, we, as Americans, some people have noted that as Americans, we violate laws. Every one of us violates laws every day, often unknowingly, because there's 10 million laws that affect our lives, most of which we don't even know about. And we violate things like traffic speed limits and a lot of other minor things, and we are accustomed to that kind of thing. But there is a difference between that kind of inadvertent and small violations of law and the conscience saying, here is a law and I am not going to pay any attention to it because I don't agree with it for me or for this particular situation. So I'm going to do what I think is right to do. This kind of thing absolutely slowly erodes the overall respect for law in our country. And it comes about, I think, because most of us look at life with a micro view. We tend to look at individual situations. With immigrations, we find it very easy to empathize with individual immigrants or migrants mm-hmm. and say, gee, here's this guy, I've met him, and he has a great family, and he's doing a good job, and it's a shame that the law says that he should not be here. So I'm going to help him. Right. And we get very much, it resonates with us to consider our relationship to individuals. That's the micro view.
Right.
But there is a macro view, and we expect our government to take a macro view and how to serve over 300 million citizens of this country, especially vis-a-vis the 150 million or so people worldwide who'd like to move to this country, and we've got to respect the macro view. The micro should flow from the macro, not the other way around.
Right. Well, if the macro is not holding, you know, the boundary, and I'm even talking about the boundaries of our country, which ensure our national security. If that's a sieve, then, you know, the micro is compromised. So, you know, this is what we have. So everybody is contributing to the problem. And because, you know, unfortunately, from the macro standpoint, as you say, Bruce, our government is not exercising, you know, the forthrightness and the intestinal fortitude to follow the law that they themselves implemented.
And it's easy to point to the current federal administration and say, look at all these things they're doing that are not supporting the law, that are right. winking and nodding and blatantly ignoring and saying, not directing to not ignore the law. I think they've brought it to a new level. This has been going on since 1965 when the acts of our current policy were first passed. But this new government it's just astounding how much they are sending out directives in the form of actions for prosecutorial discretion and phony deportation statistics and everything focused on what's politically good for our party at the next election. It has nothing to do with the macro view of managing our immigration, and I don't believe it has anything to do with the micro look at the welfare even of those people who have come here illegally. It has to do
exactly. Well, no. Well, they're not going to win. They're not going to win on this, Bruce. And that's the thing. People ask me, and they go, "Bill, you know, you're of Hispanic descent. Why do you take this?" Because the current policies and the way this is being handled is not a win for immigrants. Whether they're Hispanic or European, you know, we know they're coming Asian. This is not a win-win opportunity. This is lose-lose because the only people who are winning is one political party. And politics cannot trump policy. But this has been the order of the day, and this is why we have a messed-up immigration program that everybody says is broken. But I don't see a lot of courage in fixing this. I just see more gridlock than anything else because I think it's more of an issue now, Bruce, where it's like who's going to get the credit? You know, God forbid that the president get the credit for fixing the problem or God forbid that the Republicans do it. So then we have this, you know, so-called Mexican standoff.
Yeah, and God forbid that I lose a single vote because of something I say or propose in terms of immigration. Well, you're right. We're not going to get any change in my view until government is changed through elections. Nothing this year, certainly, and maybe nothing until 2017. We ought to use the time for some thoughtful discussion in the media and in the public and even in the political forums about what are the national interests that we ought to be pursuing vis-a-vis immigration. That's the first principle for every successful immigration policy in the world, and we ignore that. We're way, all the discussion politically goes way down to the bottom of the list, which is dealing with the particulars of illegal immigration. There are some real key things we need to talk about. What should we be talking about? Family or economic contribution? How about economy, economic contribution versus what we do for asylum and refugees? We've got a declining birth rate that's creating a long-term problem for this country. How should immigration be supporting or dealing with that? We don't even talk about those things. And I don't think we will until after elections.
Right, and because the thing is, it's easier to talk about the other issues, and the things that you're bringing up are things that are going to bring some pain. And the thing is, Bruce, if we wait till 2017, this alleged 11.5 million illegal immigrants that we know is going to probably be leveraged to 30, because once they're approved, then you're going to have all the associated relatives and everybody else coming in right behind them. So the projection is at least double, if not up to 30 million. That's today. So, 3 years down the road, what does that number look like?
Well, as Meyer Burstein said, the problems just get bigger.
Get bigger. Yeah, they do. Well, you imagine, Bruce, I mean, how would you like to be a border agent or an immigration officer under this current policy? I think you'd be brain damaged. I mean, how do you know what to do?
I know you and many of your listeners experience the idea of coming home from work at night and being terribly frustrated because you feel things haven't gone right or you haven't been able to get done something that you firmly believe needs to be done. And that kind of malaise has to affect these border agents every single day of their lives. When they realize they catch people and they're held overnight and then they're released back out into the general population again, it's got to affect their performance.
Well, exactly, and to your point, I've always maintained that one of the core values we hold in having a fulfilling job is having this sense of competency and productivity. And as you say, we come home at the end of the day and say, you know what, I did a good job. I really contributed to the cause here. I mean, how many times can you come home being one of these border agents and knowing that your hands have been tied and you're mired in this bucket of gum and this political viewpoint that makes your job near impossible? I feel for these people, not to mention some of the other reports that we could talk about on another occasion. Bruce Thatcher has been our guest. Bruce, as always, great to have you with us. You're welcome anytime. He's the author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work.